They call us the irregulars, but baby, we're always on time. Baker Street babes always leave the rest of them behind. So in Scotland Yard they send you home, you feel like you're losing your mind. If this quotidian world has got you crying, won't you two to one be mine?
Okay, hello and welcome to the Baker Street Babe podcast. We're on episode number 40. And today, myself, Artie, and the lovely Kaffers are talking to Lauren, Stuart, and Luke from Morphic Graffiti, who are putting on a production of a thing called The Revenge of Sherlock Holmes. Hi, guys.
Hey,
hello.
Can you guys introduce yourselves for our listeners very quickly?
I'm Luke, by the way. I'm the director. Hello.
And I'm Stuart, and I'm the designer, and also we're both the producers.
I'm Lauren, I'm doing the marketing.
There we are.
Excellent. Okay, so to make you guys honorary Baker Street Babes on our podcast, the first question we have for you is, how did you get into Sherlock Holmes? How did you start to become interested?
Well, we actually did a piece with the writer, or a piece with the previous, our previous piece with the writer called Leslie Brickus. We did Jekyll and Hyde last year at the Union Theatre, and he actually came over to watch it. And then he'd written a piece called The Revenge of Sherlock Holmes, and sort of approached us with it. So that's kind of how we first got into Sherlock Holmes, really.
Yeah, I read the books when I was a kid, and obviously being approached by Leslie, went back to them, and
And I love Jeremy Bratt.
So, yay!
Yeah, I love Jeremy Bratt. Yeah,
he was a big inspiration for me.
He was a huge inspiration.
Very much so.
So yeah, that's kind of how we ended up with this sort of Sherlock Holmes piece, really.
Okay. Lauren?
Oh, well, I worked with them last year on Jekyll and Hyde, and then got into work on this as well. So, I kind of found it for default, but about 2 months before they told me they were going to be doing Sherlock, I'd actually started reading it anyway, so it was a bit of a coincidence, I think. Yeah, it worked out quite well.
Excellent. Okay, so you've already spoken about the origin stories and about Jeremy Brett, who we all love here on the podcast as well.
Yep.
So do you have a favourite story from the Sherlock Holmes stories?
Ooh, what would mine be? I like the solitary cyclist.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. I don't know why, I just really enjoy it. I remember the one again from the TV series with Jeremy Brett, and I really enjoyed that one. So
I like Scandal in Bohemia.
Yeah, that's mine as well.
With Irene Adler in the picture. My favourite one. I actually prefer the shorter stories to the longer ones, bizarrely. I think because they pack more punch, but that's just probably my taste.
And the great BBC copy of Scandal.
The Benedict one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's always good.
If you could, I mean, you've spent a lot of time with this production and getting all your characters and actors together. So if from the canon, any character from the canon, who do you want to have a chat with? Who do you take out for tea?
Mine would undoubtedly be Watson. he is, well, especially in this production, he is just, he's so endearing and lovable and
silly.
Yeah, for someone so intelligent as a doctor, he just misses the point sometimes quite. he's one of those people that everyone just warms to. I mean, obviously Sherlock it's about Sherlock Holmes, but there's something about Watson that you just makes you smile and makes you feel, you know, his imperfections are just endearing.
Yeah, so. I think I'd probably have to agree with Luke with Watson, to be honest. I don't know, again, even, you know, aside from our production that we're working on, when you sort of read the books or you read, you know, or you watch the TV shows or anything, he's just always, I don't know, he's always just, he's kind of cool, I think.
I also read Lestrade as well. There's something about him.
Oh, yes,
and his,
Lestrade.
There's a huge comic element to Lestrade, which is, we found a lot in our production. But it's just the fact then that all the, you know, Sherlock, Watson, Lestrade, they all have flaws. just in various different ways, and that what makes them so endearing, I think, and that's what people are drawn to. Certainly from the audience reactions we've had so far, that's what people are drawn to.
Okay.
That's good, that sounds good.
Excellent. Okay, so congratulations, that was your three questions, so you are all now honorary Bakersby Babes.
Yay!
Yeah, so the reason that we are here, that we are chatting to you guys, is The Revenge of Sherlock Holmes. As I can see from the poster, it is a music hall musical of
great
magnificence.
Yeah.
And the poster, there will be pictures on the interwebs later, but lovely listeners, like, the poster is the killer. It's definitely in Victorian and over the top and excellent. So, yeah, if you want to maybe talk a little bit about how that came about, how did it start, where did the idea to do this come from, how did it progress?
Like I said at the beginning, we did a production last year, our inaugural production, which was Jekyll and Hyde, which is a big, big musical written by Frank Wildhorn and Leslie Bricus. And Leslie is an Oscar winner. He's written everything from... He wrote Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, wrote all the songs and the music for that. So he's, you know, he's very prolific and also quite well known as well. And he actually came to see the production of Jekyll and Hyde that we did, and then sort of approached us with this piece, this Revenge of Sherlock Holmes.
Because it originally had been written as an MGM film in the 60s, late 60s.
Yeah.
And then it was put on the back burner, and then a version of it was performed in the 80s in the West End. And he was looking for a... He wanted to try and find a Sherlock Holmes that could sing, act and dance, really.
Yeah, basically.
Star for Sherlock Holmes, because he's a literary character. But it does kind of work.
It does kind of work. So we sat down with it, and we spent quite a few weeks trying to work out what we could do with it. And in the end... in the gym, actually, Luke came up to me in the gym and he said, "Now listen to the soundtrack and imagine you're in a Victorian music hall." And all of a sudden, everything just kind of clicked in, and it seemed to work. And as a concept, it allows us to do all sorts of brilliant things, but also to serve the story, which of course is the most important thing.
All right.
What do you guys think it is that lends Sherlock Holmes to being like a musical? Because obviously, like, a lot of the adaptations are really different. Like the Granada one is quite serious, and the modern adaptation with Benedict Cumberbatch like has its moments of kind of funniness, but then like it's quite dark as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
What, the musical obviously is going to be quite different. So,
it was listening to what existed already with the soundtracks and the music that was there and the script. It's a brand new story. It's taking the characters that exist and putting them into a brand new story. And with the idea of the musical, we've set it in 1898, which was during the period when Conan Doyle had stopped writing Sherlock. I think it was about 8 years, I think it was. I'm sorry if I get that wrong. I think it's about 8 years that he stopped writing Sherlock before he came back with Hound of the Baskervilles and that. And it's in that period that... In that gap, we decided, well, if we set this musical piece, it's like a troupe of musical performers are hoping that Conan Doyle, who was a big fan of the arts, would go in and maybe see it and be encouraged to write another story, because obviously everyone wanted more books.
Yeah, everybody wanted more.
Yeah.
More and more and more, absolutely, understandably. So that was kind of, once we had this idea of the musical, to put it, sort of justify it within the Conan Doyle
literary
setting
sense,
and the literary sense as well, it just seemed to click. And the whole idea of the musical, the characters that we have, sit into the musical stock types.
It almost sounds like it's a story within a story that you guys have got here. Like it's aimed at Arthur Conan Doyle, like to get him to write more Sherlock Holmes. There's like more to it.
It's basically because it's a new story and it's not an adaptation of an existing one. It was a case of going, well, why would we be doing this? It's although we don't have Conan Doyle in the audience, the cast very much sort of. They're giving it everything, 110% every night, just to
brilliant
to sell it across to
just in case he was in the audience.
just in case Arthur Conan Doyle's spirit turns up and is like, "Oh, I think I should write another Sherlock Holmes story."
We have like Mrs. Hudson, for example. She's the sort of downtrodden housekeeper, character, and she becomes the Mari Lloyd of the musical.
So she becomes, yeah, the sort of the star turn, the East End sweetheart, so to speak. So every single one of the characters within the book, so Watson becomes the chairman of the music hall, and Watson has a whole the chairman has a whole speech at the beginning where he announces that he will be taking a very large part in this as the role of Dr. John Watson. So then Lestrade plays the comic, and they all, like Luke said previously, they all take the six principles in it, take these stock character, sort of stock, what's the word, stock artists, you know, the comic and the serio and all of those sorts of things that you would find in a music hall.
Yeah. So do you each have a favourite song then within the musical? Like a favourite part that you think like is the best bit that you always look forward to seeing?
There's a few. There's one, as part of the story, they go to the mortuary at Bart's, which is obviously where Watson trained, and he meets up with an old school friend who works at the mortuary. And there's a number, it sounds very corny, but actually it's hilarious. It's called Halcyon Days, and it harks back to when they were studying.
Oh, yeah. That's nice.
They're dancing with skeleton, and the mortuary come to life. So
it's very, very silly. I think mine would be Lousy Life, which is Mrs. Hudson's number, where she sort of comes out and basically steals the show.
And then Sherlock has a big number in Act 2 called My Incomparable Best.
Yes, which is...
He solves basically the whole story. I won't give it away, because it's ruined it. But he puts the last piece of the puzzle together, and in that moment realises that he's solved probably the biggest...
Yeah.
Puzzle so far,
yeah,
and become like a superhero. He sort of puts on his uniform of, as we come to know and expect Sherlock Holmes to be, which is rather lovely.
Yeah.
The Deerstalker, the old, everything that's been in component parts throughout the show, and they all come together for that. As he's pieced the puzzle together, so his outfit comes together, which is lovely.
Oh, that's nice.
That was really great.
So it is. It's a lot of fun. The audiences are loving it. As I say, we opened last night, and it was a riot. Everyone was just laughing and cheering, and so it's not a serious piece.
It doesn't sound it.
But then there's a lot of comedy in the books, and that's what we've tried to, you know, that sort of, it's like tongue-in-cheekness.
Yeah.
There's a quote from, I'm trying to remember what the quote was exactly, but Sherlock in this, what was the first book? My mind's gone completely blank.
Oh, the first book is A Study in Scarlet.
A Study in Scarlet. There's a line where, I forgive my blatantly just paraphrasing, but Sherlock, Conan Doyle writes that Sherlock imagined the audience in front of him as he took his bow, or words to that effect, as if he was on a stage.
Yeah.
And
never resist a touch of the dramatic.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of what's really lovely about the musical setting. It creates this environment that his flamboyance and his...
They're like larger-than-life characters.
Yeah. And he's just so part of that world in his own quirky way. So it lends itself very well to this crazy setting.
What kind of other challenges did you guys have? Like, obviously, because on stage you're having to imagine what the set looks like, because we haven't been to see the play yet. But what kind of challenges did you have in like presenting like the Victorian like elements of the play, like showing the audience like where it was set?
Well, we're very lucky because we're actually doing it in Hoxton Hall, down in Old Street, and Hoxton Hall is a Grade 2 listed music hall. It's one of the three remaining ones in London, Wilton's being one of the other ones. But it's beautiful. You go in there, and the auditorium is all red, black and gold, and it's exactly as it was 150 years ago. So automatically you go in and you've got this tiered stage and all the wrought iron work and the wall sconces and everything. So you've already... Even without a set or anything in there, you've already stepped back in time about 100 years.
Fantastic.
So that literally lends ambience to it. It's amazing. But I mean, sort of challenges would then also be that it's a Grade 2 listed building, and that's great fun when you're trying to anything with it. So, it's been a challenge, but we've got there.
And the other thing as well is the costuming is so specific to the period.
Yeah.
But we get to talk about costumes now. Excellent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, one of the biggest things for us as well was it was doing this Victorian music hall piece, but you've got to make it relevant for now. So we're basically doing Victorian music hall for a 21st century audience. But it was also very important for us to get for me especially to get the sort of the silhouette and the line and the costumes all right, but still serve the purpose of being in a music hall. So although a lot of the silhouettes are exactly like they would be, that you know, a lot of the fabrics are very bold and very sort of bright. I think my favourite costume of all of them is Watson's, because he's in yellow and green check.
Oh, lovely.
Piping. It's just a lot of fun, really, with those sorts of things.
And obviously, you've got to serve people's expectations of what Sherlock Holmes looks like, but actually make it work within the context. So he is very formal, he's very smartly dressed, but he has... It's sort of a steps up a gear in terms of theatricality.
We've gone for a lot of, a lot of very bold patterns as well. So, but still serving the era and the story, really, and the concept. So, yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, great.
And there is one character, I can't say who she is. I'll say it's a she, give a clue.
Ooh.
Why not?
Who is, I can't wear the story, but there's sort of the villain of the piece. He's very sort of this Victorian melodrama, sort of macabre character that mm-hmm. he is. Sort of these flashes yeah. initially, and then you find out why she's there. And so it's that taking that Victorian sort of gothic melodrama in there as well, which
yeah.
is lovely.
All right, so I'm guessing this is the first Sherlock Holmes adaptation that you guys have worked on. Have you been to see any other Sherlock Holmes plays, or is this the only one, like, having worked on it and seen it, that you've seen?
A lot of the research, actually, has been through television. Obviously, Elementary,
yep.
the Benedict Cumberbatch Sherlock, Jeremy Brett, yep. Lazarus Rathbone. In terms of plays, I saw a production of Hound of the Baskervilles at Greenwich recently, but there hasn't been that many on. It's one of the reasons why we wanted to do it. He's such a well-known character, as are characters with, you know, in his world. But theatrically, people don't seem to be, at the moment, wanting to put him on stage. So we were like, well, let's do it. That was kind of one of the reasons why we leapt the opportunity, because he's on television and film so much, but not in theatre.
I think that's one of the good things about it being... so old and obviously out of copyright. We have another episode about like the legal battle to do with that, but it means that, you know, you can almost do what you want with it, really. Like, you can obviously put your own spin on it. I really love the idea of the Victorian music hall. I think that just sounds fantastic.
I think as long as you pay respect to the work, I think the stories hold up however you work them. That was the biggest thing for us, is yes, it's musical, yes, it's funny, and it's a romp through this Victorian world, but characters have to be believable, and the story and their existence has to be based on what the books were, which is what we've gone for.
Fantastic. Yeah.
This is what we keep hearing from people. I mean, there was somebody we interviewed for another episode who said, as long as you're not boring with the material, you can pretty much do whatever you want, and you guys sound like you're anything but boring, and I'm really looking forward to seeing the play, like, next week now.
Really
looking forward to it. Well, the musical, not the play, sorry.
Well, we can't wait to have... We sort tickets out. Yeah. Are you based in London?
Yeah.
Are you based in Baker Street?
Sadly not. We can't afford any offices on Baker Street.
I live east of Aldgate, where you have to carry a firearm at all times.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I live just outside London, so we do everything on Skype. All the other babes are away at the moment in a big event in America. So.
Oh wow! Oh wow! It's amazing. Yeah. His Pandora's, obviously Sherlock Holmes, is so globally recognised.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
And it's only something that's just opened up to us, really, as we sort of research this. You go, wow, there is such a huge following out there.
Oh, yeah, I think once you get into it, you realise that actually, like, the fans have been around for, like, such a long time. And the Sherlock Holmes Society of London is fabulous. And then, like, we've been in contact with the the BSI, which is the Baker Street Irregulars, who are based in New York City. And, you know, it just is fantastic, like, the amount of people who just love Sherlock Holmes and, like, will come and watch anything, really. Like, you know, from music hall to, like, very serious, like, pieces. Just love all of it. It's great.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, I think we've got quite a few different groups of people coming to actually watch it, so that'll be really great to sort of get their opinions on sort of the direction we've taken it. So,
brilliant. Would you ever think of doing another Sherlock Holmes-based piece?
Yes, I was thinking about this. It would be possibly a different take on this, and maybe a more serious version. Just because we've explored the comedy, it'd be nice to explore the sort of the dramatic side. I mean, this has got drama in it, don't get me wrong, but it's... You know, you can take him in various ways and do a very sort of serious piece, you know, and really explore the complexities of one of the stories, an actual story rather than an adaptation of the stories, which is what we're doing.
Yeah.
It would be really interesting.
Cool. Well, we're always in favour of more Sherlock Holmes in any kind of medium.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, that does sound good. I think it lends itself like to the comedy and also to the darker, because you've obviously got like the Hound of the Baskervilles, which is meant to be more of a ghost story sort of.
You can make a spoof adaptation of Hound, though. I've seen it on stage in Rumford.
Yeah, you can do it silly. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think in honor of the Baker Street Babes, you should do an all female cast production.
Okay.
I've never seen that female Sherlock, but it's great. I love the fact in I'm a big fan of Jonathan Creek, which has a, in a bizarre way, it has its links to Sherlock. Obviously Caroline Quentin is Watson, so female Watson is quite interesting.
You've got Elementary, haven't you, with Johnny Miller with Lucy Liu as Watson. I have to put my hands up and say I've not actually seen an episode of it, but I've seen it advertised.
It's quite good, actually. I'd recommend it.
Yeah, you must watch it. I've seen bits and I must sit and watch the whole series. But yes, I think a female Sherlock would be an interesting way of going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of Bones as sort of a modern female Sherlock.
Yeah, the TV series about Bones.
Yes.
That kind of AU where, you know, she's a doctor.
In our story, we have a female version of one of the villains.
Yeah.
So the idea of a female role in Sherlock's world is kind of a little bit of a clue to where Alpitz is going.
Yeah.
And why and what's going on. I won't give too much away. But
no spoilers.
Sherlock's life is basically one of the things that this Alpitz looks at.
Yeah.
And I think is really interesting. For somebody who's so intellectual and focused on his work, to have a woman come into his world is a bit of a shock to him.
Yeah,
really.
Disconcerting. No, that sounds very interesting.
Yeah, it sounds really good.
Cool.
Do you have anything else you want to ask, Ardy?
I'm fine. I mean, the only thing I'd probably be interested in is casting.
Casting. Our cast are amazing.
We have 12 of them.
12 of them. They are trained professional guys and girls. Basically, they are sort of a West End musical theatre background, really, because the amount of singing, dancing, and acting, it needs people that can do all three, as well as that to work puppets
and do magic
tricks and,
oh, nice.
And all those things that are associated with sort of Victorian musical. So. Yeah, we have Tim Wharton is our Sherlock. He's got the most amazing list of West End credits, sort of a West End leading man. Our Watson again, been in West End shows.
Yeah.
They're all absolutely outstanding. And each of them, obviously, there's different types of people in musicals. So you've got the Murray Lloyd, which is Mrs. Hutton, and they all just play their roles stunningly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where the casting is. So it's people that are... very good at what they do.
Yes.
Yeah, because it sounds like you'd need quite a lot of proper stage skills to be in a musical.
And the ability just to just do it, really. and deal with anything that's thrown at you, because I can tell you now, we've thrown quite a lot at them.
Yeah.
Nice. They sound like they're all very sickeningly talented.
Yeah, yes, they are. But that's really for the audience. Well, from the reaction from the audience, they're loving it. And
yeah,
that's all we can ask for, really. So yeah, no, we're thrilled. The casting is brilliant, that's and we've got a band as well as a five-piece band, orchestrated, sound like a sort of Victorian.
It's sort of got that sort of slightly Irishy pub band feel to it. It's East End, kind of. So there's the accordion and there's a bit of mandolin and skiffle drum kit and everything. So it's and also they have all the bells and whistles of to go with it as well. And we get everything. They make every noise from gunshots to splashes. So you name it.
Fantastic. So you've done it totally Victorian musical,
yeah,
then there's
authentic as we can, yeah.
Fantastic.
Wow.
It's like stepping back in time and Sherlock is in his element, really.
Yeah.
So, elementary, there we are.
Hey!
So how long is the production going to be going on for then?
We run until the 10th of May.
It runs
Wednesdays to Sundays.
Yeah, two shows Saturday.
Two shows,
Sunday.
Okay, so if our listeners want to catch it, find more out about it, buy tickets, where do I send them?
We are on until the 10th of May, and tickets are available via the Hoxton Hall website, which is hoxtonhall.co.uk. And also we have our own company website, which is morphicgraffiti.com.
Or if you want to, you can buy tickets by calling Hoxton Hall
box office
on 0207 684 0060.
But yes, come and see it. It'll be a lot of fun. And the audiences are loving it. We'd love to see you.
Brilliant. Well, hopefully we'll have a few of our listeners can come along and say they really enjoyed it. So
amazing.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's been brilliant.
Okay, well, thank you guys so much.
No, it's been great. Thank you guys.
Thank you guys for everything. It's been lovely.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Good luck with the production. We hope to
see you. Yeah, best of luck.
Seeing you.
We all love Sherlock Holmes.
Woo!
Take care. Bye-bye. Right.
Bye.
Bye.
Baker Street Babes would like to say thank you to their sponsors. First of all, the Baker Street Journal, which continues to be the leading Sherlockian publication since its founding in 1986 by Edgar W. Smith. With both serious scholarship and articles that play the game, the journal is essential reading for anyone interested in Sherlock Holmes, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and the world where it is always 1895. Go to www.bakerstreetjournal.com to find out more. We'd also like to say thank you to West Express, who are the premier publisher of books about Sherlock Holmes and his world. Whether you've just discovered the great detective or you're a seasoned Sherlockian, we're sure you'll find many unique volumes to pique your interest. Go to www.westexpress.com and have a browse. And last but not least, we'd like to say thank you to the Scintillation of Science, which is an annual symposium of fans of Sherlock Holmes, Dr. Watson, and Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, which is sponsored by Watson's Tin Box in Maryland, USA. A Scintillation of Science number 6 is going to take place June 7 to 9, 2013 in Hanover, Maryland, and registration is now open. Go to www.scintillation.org.
If this quotidian world has got you crying, won't you 2 to 1?